This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, more on the Biden documents. We got Twitter and Big Pharma in bed together. And yes, the elites at Davos controlling the world. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. And on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot to get to. The World Economic Forum, which is happening right now, you know, the thing about it, of course, is that every time I mock these people for their complete and utter hypocrisy, it's like my favorite person who ever goes to any of this stuff is Leonardo DiCaprio. He's dumb as a freaking rock. He's a good actor, though, don't get me wrong. But he's dumb as a rock, and he goes on these big yachts with these beautiful supermodels, and of course I'm jealous, duh, and he's loaded. But they all go to this World Economic Forum in Davos, and they all go there by private jets and yachts and everything else, and then they sit there and they talk about how they're going to make the world a better place. And Greenpeace International, a global climate group that opposes fossil fuels, released a study showing that elites largely traveled to the World Economic Forum's annual conference via private jets to talk about climate change. Right. Remember, one of the big agenda items on the World Economic Forum is climate change. Why? Because they want the world to be socialist. That's why. They keep the money at the top for themselves, of course. Everybody else just shares the pittance. But climate change is always about economic change, not the climate. It never has been about the climate. It's always been about controlling the economy, period. The analysis published late last week by Greenpeace and the other environmental research firm CE Delft showed there was a significant uptick in private jets, many of which were short distance, to airports near World Economic Forum headquarters in Davos, Switzerland, during the 2022 summit. The group released a study ahead of the annual summit in World Economic Forum, which is slated to kick off today. Quote, Europe is experiencing the warmest January days ever recorded, and communities around the world are grappling with extreme weather events supercharged by the climate crisis, said Greenpeace campaigner Clara Maria Schenk. Meanwhile, the rich and powerful flock to Davos in ultra-polluting, socially inequitable private jets to discuss climate change and inequality behind closed doors. Davos has a perfectly adequate railway station. Still, these people can't even be bothered to take the train for a trip as short as 21 kilometers. Do we really believe that these are the people who solve the problems the world faces, she said. There were 1,040 flights on private jets recorded arriving and departing seven airstrips close to Davos during the week of the 2022 World Economic Forum conference. The private jet air traffic in the region represented an uptick of about 500 private flights relative to weeks before and after the conference. Therefore, Greenpeace estimated that those 500 flights, or 48% of all private jets in the area that week, were transporting conference participants. In addition, private jets flying into the Davos area during the week of the 2022 forum emitted a whopping 9,700 metric tons of CO2. The study attributed 7,400 metric tons to planes servicing the conference. By comparison, the average person worldwide has an estimated annual carbon footprint of 4 tons. Given that 80% of the world's population has never even flown, but suffers from the consequences of climate-damaging aviation emissions, and the World Economic Forum claims to be committed to the Paris Climate Accord, this annual private jet bonanza is a distasteful masterclass in hypocrisy. Private jets must be consigned to history if we are to have a green, just, and safe future for all. It's about time our political leaders start to lead by example instead of producing hot air in secret meetings with big business. On Monday, in protest of the World Economic Forum attendees' heavy private jet use, a local Swiss environmental group conducted a 4-hour blockade at one of the Davos area airports. They said the World Economic Forum was the root cause of the global issues it seeks to fix. Bunch of conspiracy kooks, if you ask me. Among the World Economic Forum's main agenda items are areas of environmental policy. The conference highlights program highlights the top priority as, quote, addressing the current energy and food crisis in the context of a new system for energy, climate, and nature. Yes. In the past, billionaires and world leaders like John Kerry, Bill Gates, and George Soros have attended the Davos summit. Now I think what also is pretty funny about this, of course, is that when you think about all of the rich, the elites, the powerful, all the people who are there to solve the world's problems for us, if you complain that they're doing all this behind closed doors, you're a conspiracy kook. But I'll share this with you. Protected by thousands of police officers and soldiers, the elite of the world will feast and party throughout the week as they shape the global agenda for the coming year. Needless to say, your input, my input, not desired, not welcomed. In order to get into the conference, you have got to be part of their club. In order to be part of their club, you must be a very important person. It is being reported that the official list of 2,658 attendees this year includes heads of state, business royalty, actual royalty, media honchos, and academics. The world's decision makers are getting, if you turn around and you say that these people are trying to control the world, okay? The Associated Press says you're a conspiracy kook, but literally, they say, the World Economic Forum says, the world's decision makers are gathering in Switzerland this week for the World Economic Forum meeting. The annual event of business and government leaders is expecting a solid turnout as it returns to its traditional winter time slot following 2 years of COVID disruptions. They literally say they are the world's decision makers. They say that. And yet, if you turn around and say that, it's like, what is your tinfoil hat getting a little trippy up there, huh? These people don't control the world. They don't make the decisions on behalf of you and me. They don't have their little minions controlling everything. That's just kookiness you're talking about. Then you read about the actual description of the World Economic Forum, and they literally say, the world's decision makers. I'm not making decisions for the world, are you? I'm not. Maybe you are. I'm not. I can't even get Flower Auntie into the Parks comedy show. I can't make decisions for the world. Please. I can't even get Zeoli Army shirts anymore. But the people at Davos can. According to the official list, which is accurate as of January 10th, 2,658 attendees are registered for the event. Among them are heads of state, business royalty, actual royalty, media honchos, and academics. There are hundreds more participating on the sidelines, whether organizing, catering, or attending corporate events along the promenade that cuts through the center of Davos. Now, what happens, Matt DeSantis, executive producer, if you just show up at Davos?
I have no idea.
I mean, you think you get in?
I would think. It's open to the public, right?
No.
No? There's no conference portion that's open to the public? Yeah, you get turned away then.
I think you get turned away. Because I think you only get in if you're on the official list.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, there might be public things to make you feel like a puppet show. Like, there might be, like, a puppet show or, you know, maybe, like, a petting zoo. Like, things to make the peons feel like they're included or something like that. But, no, you got to be on the official list.
Okay. I think you're right. I saw a headline earlier today that said record crowds are drawing towards Davos. But I get... Yeah, I think you're right.
I think they're to protest, actually.
Yeah, you might, I just assumed it was to attend and hear what people have to say. But now as I skim this article, I think you're right. I don't think it has anything to do with people actually showing up to watch the festivities in person.
You know, why don't we send Henry to the WEF and see if he can get in with his mullet, his freaking 80s jeans.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people there with mullets. He'll stick out like a sore thumb.
The mullet is the official haircut of Davos. Disclosed.tv, they're a great site to follow. Police and military have blocked the access roads to Davos, where Klaus Schwab is holding his World Economic Forum summit. Police vehicles and fingerprints are now being checked. People, vehicles, and fingerprints are now being checked. In addition to hordes of regular police, the Swiss military is providing up to 5,000 soldiers to bolster security. From a news article, with 1 week to go into the who's who of the most radical globalist descent upon the picturesque ski resort town of Davos, Switzerland, up to 5,000 soldiers from the Swiss Army will be deployed to offer military support to the civil authorities who are responsible for securing the summit's premises and its participants. It's a big club and you ain't in it. Leading up to the conference, the WEF issued a global risks report. And in that report, they actually created a brand new term to describe the extreme chaos that is gripping our world right now. The collective vocabulary stored in the world's great dictionaries didn't appear to hold a single word to sum up all the strife. So the WEF came up with their new word. Ready? Polycrisis. It's a polycrisis. Multiple crises at once. Polycrisis. The World Economic Forum's Global Risk Report 2023 uses the term polycrisis to explain how present and future risks can also interact with each other to form a polycrisis, a cluster of related global risks with compounding effects such that the overall impact exceeds the sum of the part. By the way, I had a band in college called Polycrisis. We were a Queensryche cover band, which was a terrible name because Queensryche is an awful name, and then Polycrisis is an awful name, and you know, I kept mixing it up. And I'm like, we're Queensryche. No, we're Polycrisis. Damn it!
I'll have to get your album off iTunes.
Oh, it's fantastic, by the way. Please. So this idea of a polycrisis, because they you know, a big part of the goal here, of course, is to scare the bejesus out of everybody. From COVID to the other pandemics to cyber pandemics to, of course, the comet, this comet that could be making a run toward the Earth, a rare green comet revisiting our solar system that's up there as well. Obviously, climate change being the big crisis, of course, as well. But all of this compounding with all of the elites on their jets and their yachts and the who's who of the world. And you and I will just sit here and, you know, we'll just hang out, I guess. But the hypocrisy of the climate hypocrites never ceases to amaze me. I mean, for Leonardo DiCaprio to take his jet over there, or his yacht, or John Kerry to take his jet over there and spew the kind of climate pouring CO2 into the atmosphere while lecturing us. These people are the biggest hypocrites on the planet. They really are. And look, I'd love to go hang out with them. It sounds like a lot of fun. I guarantee there's a ton of hot chicks there. I mean, supermodels there. You know that there's a lot of great food there. I don't know what I'd wear to Davos, but I mean, you got caviar, I'm sure, right? What do you think they're eating at the World Economic Forum this week?
I'm sure it's hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah, probably hots and hams, like Klaus Schwab doing a hots and hams night.
There's a grill night at Davos.
Grill night at Davos. How many impossible, like how many plant-based foods are there, you think?
Oh, all of them.
Is it all, it's, yeah?
Well, actually, probably not. They seem like hypocrites, so I'm sure they're eating like endangered species.
You know what? They're eating the whales that are washing up on the Jersey Shore. And they're enjoying it, too. Yummy, this whale died from one of your windmills, Klaus.
The snow leopard is unbelievably tender.
Yeah, it's like that scene in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, where he walks in and all the people are eating the exotic animals. He's like, oh, and he just loses his mind. You see the guys at Davos, like, clubbing baby seals.
How else are they going to get their entrees, Rich?
Come on, they need their protein, please. They're not going fishing for these things. Oh, man, I love this stuff. By the way, Janet Yellen, Karine Jean-Pierre, there's a lot of stuff I got to get to about the debt ceiling as well, because that is going to be the next fight. But BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, who is a guy that I have just no respect for whatsoever. This is a guy who has brought the governance agenda, ESG as it's known, environmental social governance, to investing. BlackRock, this is one of the richest human beings on the planet. I imagine Larry Fink is probably in Davos right now. I don't know. I don't have the list, but if I had a bet, probably bet he's there. Or at least he's going to make an appearance, you know. That's what I wanted to do with Davos. I wanted to walk in and be like, what's up, Wef? Can I club a baby seal? No, I can't do that, huh? All right. Can anybody give me a ride home on a private jet? Because I took the train here and it was very lonely. Leo, baby. How about a little yacht ride for Richie Z, huh? Maybe a supermodel, you know? Because I'm far enough away from the house where it doesn't count. Come on, Leo, you know what I'm talking about, Booby, right?
I don't think that's a rule.
Am I right, Booby? Come on. All right, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink. This is what we're headed for the economy right now. Cut 27.
Are we in a recession? Are we heading to a recession? And if we are going to a recession, how deep do you think it'll be?
We're not in a recession yet, but the high probability we're going to be going to a recession. We're seeing the housing market really, you know, collapse from the peak levels that we saw last year. We're seeing auto sales starting to fall quite considerably. And we're starting to see actually more and more consumers borrowing against their retirement.
Oh.
So they had huge pools of money during COVID. They weren't commuting. They received some federal payments, and that has mostly diminished. And so right now we're at this point now where we're not in a recession, but if the pathway continues in this direction, and I believe it will be, we're going to be in a mild recession. And absolutely, there's no reason for us to be in a very deep recession. There's too many things going on in our economy to be in a deep recession. And in fact, because of the very much warm weather that Europe has experienced so far this winter, Europe is not going to be as deep a recession also, because energy prices have stabilized there too. And so all of that will lead to a recession of some magnitude. We don't believe it's going to be that deep or that long.
Well, that's good. Good news. Thanks. I feel better about that now. But it is interesting, though, that climate plays such a big role into this as well. And as the Associated Press reports, the Great Reset, that's what they called it. The World Economic Forum called their agenda the Great Reset. I didn't call that. I didn't make that up. That's not a conspiracy thing. Not an Alex Jones thing, Sid. That's what the Associated Press said. But I'm just pointing out that it is the single most elitist organization on the planet, climate being number one, and they are the freaking biggest hypocrites on the planet when it comes to the environment. And I think we can all agree on that. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got so much more to get to. We're really just getting warmed up here, so don't go away.
From Essington to Cochranville, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
My buddy Daniel Turner got some great tweets. He tweeted out today. He's the guy, the founder of a great organization that fights against the green nonsense out there and brings the truth out. It's called Power of the Future. I have him on the show a lot. He's a terrific friend of mine. But, you know, he tweeted out, he said, on MLK Day today, it's a reminder that the green agenda pushed by Joe Biden and UN globalists currently enslaves millions worldwide, including 40,000 children in the Congo working in cobalt mines. There is no greater white privilege than the climate cult. He also pointed out, too, he said, there's a piece today from the Washington Free Beacon. The green energy group behind a study that's driving calls to ban gas stoves has partnered with China to implement economy-wide transformation away from oil and gas. Shocking, I know. Maybe we'll get into that tomorrow because we've got a lot to get into. Let's see here now. Here we go. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, although now he's technically the former leading infectious disease doctor. Neil Cavuto. He was on with Neil Cavuto talking about Elon Musk's prosecute Fauci tweet. He doesn't know what it's about. Cut 22.
Elon Musk has said he has released the so-called Fauci files and talking about how the government and Twitter, for example, work closely to share messages on how you particularly were dealing or telling the public about the virus. He went on to say my pronouns are hashtag Fauci. And I'm just wondering what you made of the world's richest man or second richest now going after you.
I have no idea what he's talking about, Neil. I wish I did. I mean, I'm clueless about what he's referring to. He's talking about the Fauci files was supposed to come out last week. We now at the end of this week. I just don't understand what he's doing. And I don't even think I should be addressing it because
so when he says what he's saying is to prosecute.
Yeah, well, the thing about prosecute Fauci is what everybody's trying to understand here is your role in gain-of-function research, but also your role in censorship when it comes to Twitter. Because, you see, the Twitter files have exposed a lot. Matt Taibbi pointing out Li Feng's Twitter thread, which says, the global lobbying blitz by Big Pharma includes direct pressure on social media. BioNTech, which developed Pfizer's vaccine, reached out to Twitter to request that Twitter directly censor users who were tweeting at them to ask for generic low-cost vaccines. And that's pretty interesting as well. Bio, the lobby group that represents biopharma, including Moderna and Pfizer, wrote to the newly elected Biden administration demanding the United States government sanction any country attempting to violate patent rights and create generic low-cost COVID medicine or vaccines. Wow. How about that? New piece from the Twitter files show how the pharmaceutical industry lobbied social media to shape content around vaccine policy. The push included direct pressure from Pfizer's partner BioNTech to censor activists demanding vaccines for low-income countries. You know, Matt Taibbi talked about the number of people who were involved in government censorship in all of this. And the numbers are going to shock you when you think about it. Remember, Matt Taibbi got the original Twitter files from Elon Musk. He put out the Twitter files. We've seen other Twitter files since then. We're only really scratching the surface on these things. But Twitter was doing the bidding of the United States government on multiple occasions, and they were openly and actively censoring people. And this is what Matt Taibbi said in terms of the number of people who were involved in all this. Take a listen.
I think the major revelation of the Twitter file so far is that we've discovered an elaborate bureaucracy of what you might call public-private censorship. Basically, companies like Twitter had a system by which they received tens of thousands of requests for action on various accounts, typically through the DHS and the FBI, but these requests were coming from basically every agency in the government. We've seen them from the HHS, from the Treasury, from the DOD, even from the CIA, and they will send basically long lists of accounts in Excel spreadsheet files and ask for action on those accounts. And in many cases, Twitter is complying.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about the fact that the FBI had a task force of 80 FBI agents or 80 people at the FBI who were tasked with just dealing with social media. But it was many more than that, right? You're estimating up to 1,000 people throughout government.
Right, because that foreign influence task force only refers to the people in the FBI, DHS, and the Director of National Intelligence Office. But actually, this includes people in a variety of agencies, both federal and state. We've seen requests from basically all 50 states. Most of those go through DHS to Twitter. So I would estimate the personnel somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people. That's just based on what we've seen so far. It may be more than that.
500 to 1,000 people involved in censorship. Wow. Well, you know, the new round of Twitter files show that in 2020, it was clear that the pandemic would require rapid innovation, Li Feng writes. Early on, there was a push to make the solution equitable, an international partnership to share ideas, technology, new forms of medicine to rapidly solve this crisis. But global drug giants saw the crisis as an opportunity for unprecedented profit. Behind closed doors, pharma launched a massive lobbying blitz to crush any effort to share patents or IPs for new COVID-related medicine, including therapeutics and vaccines. There's a lot on this, obviously, but the big point is that, again, the pressure on social media. Twitter's representatives responded quickly to the pharma's request. This is BioNTech, which is also backed by the German government. A lobbyist in Europe asked the content moderation team at Twitter to monitor the accounts of Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and activist hashtags like hashtag people's vaccine. The potential fake accounts that Twitter monitored for protesting Pfizer were actually real people. The Twitter team flagged one tweet for violating their user things. It was a guy named Terry, a 74-year-old retired bricklayer in the United Kingdom. He was simply just asking for a cheap generic vaccine. That's all he wanted at the time. But Pfizer, Moderna, and their lobbyists went to it, and obviously, they got all in on this. Bio provided $1.275 million to the campaign, part of which it revealed through tax forms. And they helped Twitter create content moderation bots, select which public health accounts got verification, helped crowdsource content takedowns. And many of the tweets that the Bio-funded campaign focused on were truly unhinged misinformation, but others were more of a gray area, like vaccine passports, vaccine mandates, policies that coerce vaccination. So, for example, if you were out there suggesting that you think a vaccine passport is unconstitutional, you should not have to carry around papers with you. If you were out there saying vaccine mandates, as I was, were absolutely wrong. If you were out there saying the vaccine does not stop the spread of transmission, which was very obvious, anything like that, the campaign that Moderna and Pfizer would do would have these bots on there basically flag these accounts and take them down. Like, for example, one account which read, if a vaccinated person and an unvaccinated person have roughly the same capacity to carry, shed, and transmit the virus, particularly in its Delta form, what difference does implementing a vaccination passport actually make to the spread of the virus? That's from Stephanie Senoff, who tweeted that out. That was taken down. Stronger had a piece, what to know about vaccine mandates. President Biden's new COVID-19 strategy will impact 2/3 of U.S. workers. Anything that would appear to be negative about vaccine mandates or vaccine passports or anything Moderna and Pfizer did not like went straight to Twitter's lobbyists and content regulators. They actually focused a lot on Zero Hedge, and they suspended that account for quite some time. Notably, the massive push to censor and label COVID misinformation never applied to drug companies. When Big Pharma wildly exaggerated the risks of creating low-cost generic COVID vaccines, which was misinformation, nothing happened to them. The rules applied only to critics of the industry. And Twitter, you know, obviously, the COVID-19 drug makers pressured Twitter to censor activists pushing for generic vaccines, for example, and also pushing to censor anybody who would speak out and question anything regarding the vaccines that they didn't like. And you know who was involved in this too? Michael Schellenberger was involved in some of this reporting on this stuff. He's very, very fantastic. And David Zweig also Who's been great. I think we've had David Zweig on the show before, right, Matt DeSantis? He's terrific. He was involved in this reporting as well. So basically, that's what you need to know. What you need to know is that Big Pharma and Twitter were also working together. The FBI and Twitter were working together. The NSA and Twitter were working together. The Pentagon and Twitter were working together. My God, where does it stop? Where does it end? It seems like every day we're living in a world where you turn around and go, this sounds like something out of a conspiracy movie. It doesn't seem real, and I feel crazy even talking about it, except that it's 100% real, and it's now all out there. But it's so crazy, I'm sure the way people felt when they found out the FBI had been illegally spying on Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm sure it's like that. I'm sure people felt that way back then. And then they find out that it was real. The FBI was bugging Martin Luther King. So, you know, they win, like I always say, if they can convince you it sounds nutty, it sounds like a conspiracy, and then you just stop talking about it. Because the idea that Big Pharma would collude with Twitter to take down an account who might suggest that maybe a vaccine passport is unconstitutional, un-American, violates your freedom, that a vaccine mandate is unconstitutional, violates your freedom, that Big Pharma and Twitter would collude to silence those people is so freaking terrifying. But it's one thing I'll say, though, is at least it's not the government in this case doing it. Although I guarantee you that if you look closely, the FDA, the CDC, the HHS, I guarantee they were also involved in this, too. There's no way that we're going to let Big Pharma have all that fun without them. Come on, you silly kid, you. Come on, 855-839-1210. All right, we got our mystery movie clip of the day. Let's do it.
Now, afternoon.
Mystery movie clip, WPHT.
The economic modalities, especially in the southern colonies, could most aptly be characterized as agrarian pre-capital.
All right, of course that's your contention. You're a first-year grad student. You just got finished reading some Marxian historian, Pete Garrison probably. You're going to be convinced of that till next month when you get to James Lemon. Then you're going to be talking about how the economies of Virginia and Pennsylvania were entrepreneurial and capitalist way back in 1740. That's going to last until next year. You're going to be in here regurgitating Gordon Wood, talking about, you know, the pre-revolutionary utopia and the capital-forming effects of military mobilization.
As a matter of fact, I won't, because Wood drastically underestimates the impact
of social distinctions predicated upon wealth, especially inherited wealth. You got that from Vickers. Work in Essex County, page 98, right? Yeah, I read that too.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, DeSantis, tell them what they'll win.
All right, if you know the name of that movie and your caller number 12, you'll win a pair of tickets to the Philadelphia Auto Show, January 28th through February 5th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Tickets are available at phillyautoshow.com.
There you go. Good luck, car number 12. That was basically almost the entire movie, so you should be able to get it. Listen, this is the perfect time of year right now to treat yourself to the luxurious vehicle shopping experience that you deserve. Of course, I'm talking about my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. When you purchase a Certified by Volvo vehicle, you're going to have the same confidence and pride in your car as you would a brand new one, but without the new vehicle price tag. And just like with all Volvos, your safety is their number one priority. That's why each Certified by Volvo vehicle has to pass a rigorous test with more than 170 points, have less than 80,000 miles, and receive a detailed Carfax vehicle history report. Volvos are tremendous vehicles with an impeccable safety record. That includes new and certified pre-owned Volvos as well. And Cherry Hill Volvo is fantastic to visit. These pre-owned Volvos are on sale right now during their incredible January sales event. So go see them. What are you waiting for? They're minutes over the bridge, right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. It's where I purchased my Volvo, and I love it. It's fast, it's safe, it's got great sophistication. But every person that I send to Cherry Hill Volvo loves the way they are treated, because it's about relationships, and relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. So go see them today, and don't wait. Get there before the January sales event ends, and get yourself into a beautiful new certified pre-owned Volvo with incredible warranty, low mileage, and this car is not leaving Cherry Hill Volvo. It's not going to be there unless it is outstanding in every single way. So Cherry Hill Vavo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter. Republicans smoke cigars in the Capitol again. That's fantastic. That's great. Good, good. That's freedom, baby. Freedom. I had a cigar yesterday with my buddies, as a matter of fact. It was a great day, and, you know, I'm all about freedom. You make your choices in life. That's all I got to do. 855-839-1210 is the number. Let me go to our movie winner, Denicia. How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent. Congratulations, you won.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening to the show. I appreciate it very much.
Yes. Always listen to it. Even though you change your slot, I'm still listening.
No animus whatsoever over that change, right, Denicia?
No, I'm still listening. It's still good. Because you were at this time before,
yeah.
And then you changed to the daytime. And now you change back, so I'm good.
Right, and I'll change back to mornings sometime in the second quarter of this year. I'm just going to keep moving time slots just to confuse everybody.
Yes.
Thanks, Denicia. You have a wonderful night, and appreciate you listening. Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you.
All right, you got it. 855-839-1210. So Joe Biden today spoke, and he couldn't even properly pronounce the name of the woman he appointed to the United States Supreme Court. He botched that. He also sang a terrible song to honor MLK the Third's wife's birthday. There's just so much today from Biden's speech that I will get into. But Matt, do you have that clip of Biden botching Ketanji Brown Jackson's name?
I have it, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Those are the words of Ketanji Brown Jackson. Supreme Court Justice.
Ketanji Drown Jackson? Is that what he just said?
He wasn't even close.
Not even in the same ballpark. Not even the same game.
We have to listen to this again.
Of course.
Those are the words of Ketanji Drown Jackson. Our Supreme
Court. Ketanji Drown Jackson. Oh, my God. One more time, please. Okay. Thank you.
Those are the words of Ketanji Drown Jackson.
How many times Ketanji has he said Drown that name, by Jackson. The way?
Right?
Hundreds? Thousands?
Ketanji Drown Jackson. It's just so Joe Biden. We are loaded up today on the show. This next hour, I'm going to get into the kooks who try to destroy artwork. But I thought this was interesting. So Jeremy Scahill, The Intercept has a story how Biden used classified documents accusation against a Carter CIA nominee. As a senator, Joe Biden helped kill President Jimmy Carter's CIA director nominee because he allegedly mishandled classified materials. It's an amazing piece. I don't have a time to get into the whole thing in detail, but just know this. At the confirmation hearing, Biden laid into the nominee and said, quite honestly, I'm not sure whether or not Mr. Sorensen could be indicted or convicted under the espionage statutes. He said, but he then went on to say that he intentionally took advantage of the ambiguities in the law or carelessly ignored the law. As a result of these and other complaints against Sorensen and behind the scenes pressure from Carter, the old JFK speechwriter agreed to have his nomination withdrawn. Sorensen later said Biden should be awarded, quote, the prize for political hypocrisy in a town noted for political hypocrisy. It's a remarkable story. It really is a remarkable story when you think about it, how Joe Biden literally went after somebody because he had classified documents for the purposes of writing an autobiography about JFK. I will get into Britain's national healthcare meltdown. No question about it. But a couple things I want to mention. Pentagon officials are now exploring back pay for troops who were discharged for refusing the COVID vaccine. That's very good. That should happen. No question about it. National Security Council spokesman Admiral John Kirby asserted that President Joe Biden and Secretary Austin opposed repealing the Defense Department's vaccine mandate. Secretary Austin has been very clear that he opposes the repeal of the vaccine mandate, and the president actually concurs with the Secretary of Defense. Biden continues to believe that all Americans, including those in the armed forces, should be vaccinated and boosted for COVID. Vaccines are saving lives, including our men and women in uniform. But remember that Biden signed the bill, which ended the COVID vaccine mandates, and now the troops should be reinstated. The discharged troops should be reinstated with back pay. And even former Vice President Mike Pence told The Hill last week that Biden should reinstate the discharged troops with back pay, calling the initial decision to force service members to take the shot unconscionable. And now in the World Health Organization is actually appealing on China to release more COVID-19 information because China, once again, is not being honest with everybody. And there's a lawsuit against Walt Disney World saying that Disney and the corporation was a state actor colluding with government to force vaccines on their employees. Two Disney employees who were fired for refusing the COVID vaccine allege that Disney is closely enmeshed with the government and that when it forced a vaccine mandate on its employees, it was essentially a state actor, which would make it subject to the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. Now, I don't know what information they have to back this up, but the lawsuit was filed by Beth Faber and Allison Williams, two former employees of ESPN. ESPN was subject to Disney's vaccine policies because it is owned by Disney, and both companies are named in the suit. The correct company name, the official corporate name, is ABC Disney China. I don't know if you know that or not. And they say, stop thinking of Disney as a Mickey Mouse organization. They were these employees were fired for refusing the vaccine. And in their suit, they say, listen, you know, they don't even think about them. I have my religious beliefs and my connection with God, and I have sincerely held religious beliefs, and Disney would not give me a vaccine. In fact, Disney said to them, you have not provided sufficient documentation to support your accommodation request, and your request is denied. So then these people were fired. And one woman was actually pregnant, and she did not want, she was going through in vitro fertilization and was concerned about the potential unknown effects the vaccination would have on the fetus. So she requested a medical exemption on the grounds for that, was denied that as well. In fact, they said, receive the COVID vaccine or you would be terminated. She chose not to be vaccinated. She was fired on October 19th, 2021. So these two people fired for, one with deeply held religious beliefs, one with a, I think, incredibly legitimate medical question about whether or not the effects on a fetus in vitro would be, in fact, you know, bad. But Disney didn't care. Disney fired them. And that's the way it is. Now, it's important to know this is pre-Bob Iger. So I don't know if Bob Iger would have done the same thing if he were the CEO of Disney. I don't know. But in the lawsuit, they're alleging that Disney was essentially a state actor. So, you know, if that's the case, then, well, there you go. That's going to be a very interesting case, to say the least. Because obviously, private companies can do whatever they want. If they want to force a vaccine mandate on their employees, they can. If they can prove that Disney was colluding with the government, maybe there'll be another Twitter batch or something like this. Tomorrow, we'll get into a lot on the debt ceiling. There's obviously a lot on the debt ceiling that we need to get into. But I would be remiss, Matt DeSantis, if I did not play the other clips we have not played of Democrats who are actually critical of Joe Biden on the handling of classified documents. So why don't we start with Democrat Representative John Garamendi, who was on Fox News Sunday. He's a congressman from California, cut 12.
So, Congressman, do you get why so many Americans at least have the perception that the Justice Department does not treat all Americans equally? And what does the department have to do in these cases to reassure Americans?
Well, doing exactly what they're doing now. We have a special counsel in place. The documents and the whole issue is before the special counsel, and the investigations will go forward with regard to these classified documents that were found. I can only, in fact, I don't need to imagine. I know exactly what President Biden said when he was informed that these documents were found in his office office in Washington, and that was a O followed by a four-letter expletive. And it's an embarrassment, no doubt about it. Is there more to it? I doubt it, but we'll find out from the special counsel as he goes about his business.
Certainly an embarrassment, Congressman Garamendi. Here is Debbie Stabenow calling Biden's comments on Trump's documents quite embarrassing. This was on Meet the Press yesterday, Cut 13.
You know, the president said what Donald Trump did was careless. Are those words he has to eat? Are those words he has to eat, basically, as to that he was wrong?
I lost you there for a second.
That's okay. He said what Donald Trump did was careless.
I'm sorry.
He said what Donald Trump did was careless. Does he have to eat those words considering what happened with him?
Well, it's certainly embarrassing, right? I mean, it's embarrassing that you would find a small number of documents, certainly not on purpose. They don't think it's the right thing. And they have been moving to correct it, working with the Department of Justice, working with everyone involved, with the archives. And so from my perspective, you know, it's one of those moments that obviously they wish hadn't happened.
They wish hadn't happened. By the way, some breaking news on the show today. In nutty San Francisco, the reparations panel is now pitching $5 million to each black resident. A San Francisco panel studying reparations has proposed a one-time payment of $5 million to each black resident of a city deemed eligible as compensation for the decades of harm they have experienced, according to a report on Monday. A lump sum payment would compensate the affected population and will redress the economic and opportunity losses that black San Franciscans have endured, collectively as the result of both intentional decisions and unintended harms perpetuated by city policy. The San Francisco African American Reparations Advisory Committee said in a draft report issued last month. They're also proposing wiping out all debts associated with educational, personal, credit card, and payday loans for black households. It's a 15-member panel established by the San Francisco supervisors in May 2021. A separate task force created by California's legislature is also studying reparations. And the city's group report said reparations must be adequate, effective, prompt, and should be proportional to the gravity of the violations and the harm suffered. Members of the black community in San Francisco demand reparations not to remedy enslavement, but to address the public policies explicitly created to subjugate black people in San Francisco by upholding and expanding the intent and legacy of chattel slavery. The report noted that while neither California nor San Francisco formally adopted the institution of chattel slavery, other aspects of segregation, like white supremacy and systemic repression found in the legal system, social codes, and extra legal actions were designed to exclude black. Can I identify as black and get the $5 million? Because that's what I want to know, because that sounds amazing. I mean, that one woman did it, like Rachel Dolezal. Didn't she do that?
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about her.
Yeah. So what if I just identify as African-American? Can I get $5 million?
I have to consult with Rachel.
You have to have been born... between or migrated.
Ended well for her.
No, it didn't work out well, huh? But I'm willing to take a $5 million chance here. You know what I mean? They must prove that they meet 2 out of 8 additional standards, including being born in or having migrated to San Francisco between 1940 and 1996, and having proof of residency for at least 13 years, being personally or a direct descendant of someone jailed in the, quote, failed war on drugs, like Joe Biden, for example, who stood on the floor of the Senate in 1994 for the passage of the Clinton crime bill, making crack cocaine one of the big things that the government would go after people for, largely affecting, by the way, people of color, to use the left's term for that, or being a descendant of someone enslaved before 1865. So you just have to be a descendant of someone who was enslaved before 1865. What if you're like working at Apple, making millions of dollars a year, and you're a descendant of a slave? Do you still get the $5 million? I guess you do, right? Wow. $5 million. Pretty good. And also, too, they might wipe out all your debt. San Francisco, by the way, is predicting a budget shortfall of roughly $728 million over the next 2 years. So how they'll pay for this? I don't know. You tell me. What are you asking me all these complicated questions for, Matt DeSantis? I don't know how they're going to pay for it. Doesn't sound to me like they have the money, but does it really matter?
Is San Francisco ever concerned about a balanced budget, though?
No, it's not really one of their things, is it?
No, that's not what they're known for. Yeah. Fiscal responsibility.
Not so much. All right, listen, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up, including Joe Biden botches a birthday song at during the MLK festivities today, and also climate activists destroying art. Wait till you hear the defense by a lunatic. But listen, USA Insulation, do what I did. Save money with USA Insulation. They'll come to your home. They'll inject their premium foam insulation into your walls from the outside. Now, this is going to create a foam barrier. It's going to keep the air you're paying for inside your home and the cold air out where it belongs. The best part is you can get the insulation now. Get your home insulated now. Reap the savings now, but with no payments and no interest for 3 years. Isn't that something? That's great. You're gonna be saving money and feeling better without having to worry about any of the nonsense when it comes to the payments yet. And you got to think twice, too, before you turn up that thermostat, because it's very expensive right now. And now they also have a solar credit of 30%. That's right. So take advantage of the solar credit. Take advantage of the delay in payments. Take advantage of all of it and get your home ready to go right now. Just call them at 1-800-USA-FOAM. 1-800-USA-FOAM or usainsulation.net. USA Insulation saved us money. Our home is more comfortable. And you can take advantage of the 30% government tax credit to save you money and get your home insulated now with usainsulation.net.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.